Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
Is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome Cliff May, the founder and president of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. At the beginning of 2024, the challenges are evident. Two wars in the Eurasian supercontinent, possibly a third in the Red Sea, a war threatened in Taiwan again by Xi Jinping, the absolute ruler of the Chinese Communist Party, guaranteeing his people that in addition to recovering a broken economy, he will recover Taiwan. Cliff, a very good evening to you. Your new column identifies how it is that the administration, serial administrations over the last 25, 30 years, have regarded aggression as something to be negotiated with. What have we learned, Cliff, about aggression when it's practiced by other states? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. Well, depends what you mean by we, pal face. I think what you and I have learned, maybe I should just speak for myself, is not to overestimate the power of soft power. When you're talking about regimes that are empire builders, that are neo-imperialists, that are communists, that are Islamists, you can deter them, but you can only do so by having capabilities that they perceive as awe-inspiring, and they must also believe you have the will to utilize those capabilities. If you do that, you can deter them from aggression, you can contain them, but if you don't do that, they will continue on the march. And that's what you have right now. You have an axis of Beijing, Moscow, Tehran, also North Korea, Venezuela, Nicaragua, increasing number of countries in Africa that are leaning towards either China or Russia. And that what they all want is the diminishment, if not defeat, of the United States. We need to I think you understand that. I think I understand that. I think a lot of people don't, and they don't connect the dots, and they don't see, for example, with the Houthis right now, that they are not going to stop doing what they're doing until they feel some steel. And so they feel some pain. And what's more, even harming the Houthis, for example, destroying their weapons factories, their command and control headquarters, and that sort of thing, that's only tactical because they are one of the proxies in the network that emanates from Tehran. That's what needs to be understood.
Let's focus on Iran. The axis of resistance is the way it presents itself, linking to Moscow, linking to Beijing, perhaps linking to Pyongyang. The Biden administration has been romancing Tehran following the Obama administration's romancing of Taiwan. And I see nothing in the news out of Washington, and it's a quiet time of year, but foreign policy usually shows up. I see nothing to suggest that they're going to change that opinion despite the provocations in the Red Sea, despite the provocations with Hamas. Do you see it, Cliff? You're closer to the story. Will they back off from romance in Tehran?
Listen, presidents do not like to say, you know what, I was wrong. Or even to say, you know what, we tried an experiment. We thought it might work. It didn't. Now we have to change our approach. And that's what, and the Biden approach has been very much consistent with the Obama approach. And the Obama approach was to say to Tehran, we don't think you really mean it when you say death to America. We think you simply want your equities respected. As Obama said, I will reach out my hand if you will unclench your fist. They did not do so. We will help make you wealthy. Surely you want to be wealthy because that means you can do good things for your people and you can share the neighborhood. Remember that phrase from President Obama, share the neighborhood with Saudi Arabia. I don't think he meant share the neighborhood with Israel because Israel has been part of the has been among the vows of the Islamic Republic of Iran since the revolution, which began in 1979, and really in January, right around now. It started maybe a little bit early, but it got underway now with the Ayatollah coming back in February. But that share the neighborhood idea, that kind of Mr. Rogers doctrine, it was always bound for failure. But nobody wants to admit it. And so you went from the Trump administration, which had what could reasonably be called a maximum pressure campaign that was destroying the economy of the Islamic Republic of Iran, and that should have been maintained. And you've had instead a kind of maximum deference enriching the regime in Tehran. And they're using that money to support their network, their axis of resistance, so the Houthis, the Hezbollah, Hamas, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, various Shia militias that attack Americans in Syria and Iraq. We're supporting all that.
Cliff, there is a thinking that at some point it's too late to deter. At some point you've lost the ability to influence decision-making by adversaries. Have we reached that point with Tehran and with Moscow in particular? Is there anything left to demonstrate, or are they just going to keep coming?
Well, they're going to keep coming until you do something strong. And I don't think the possibility of deterrence is gone. I think it's more challenging now. But all it would take, I think, right now, start with the Houthis. Again, destroy. We should know through intelligence where they have the weapons that were delivered from Iran stored. Destroy them. That makes it very hard for them to send missiles. They use helicopters to hijack a ship. Destroy those helicopters where they are. They're not. That's not an impregnable fortress. And as far as Iran, yes, you have to do more. The killing of Qasem Soleimani 4 years ago today, actually, no, tomorrow, January 3rd. That sent a message. You could wipe out the Iranian Navy if it attacks ships, say, in the Strait of Hormuz, another very strategic waterway. You could do that in a day, and then the regime in Iran would know that you're serious. We still have a lot of power, not as much as we should, not as much as we need to. My argument, and my argument in this column, is that in this new year, reestablishing deterrence it should be our primary concern. Other things should be secondary or tertiary or fall off. And we can do that by building our military capabilities and showing our will. And if we do so, we'll have a much more peaceful world. If we don't, we will be challenged on multiple fronts, as is happening right now.
It's an election year. Can you posit that Mr. Biden will change directions in an election year? Must we wait for the new presidency?
I think it's unlikely that he will. If I were put on my political hat, I don't think it would be a bad thing for him to do, to say we have serious challenges. Defense of the United States is my primary goal and objective and duty. And I'm going to do that by building our military. So I think there are a lot of people on the right who would say, wow, that's really impressive, and we want to support that. I think there are a lot of independents who would do so. I think it would be a more credible position than promoting Bidenomics and an open border policy on the southern border that is bringing in so many millions of illegal immigrants who are unvetted. We don't know who they are, where they're from, what they intend to do, and we can't support them from a welfare point of view. I mean, they're costing some of these cities $185,000 a year to maintain. That's not a. I wouldn't think that's a, if I were a political person advising President Biden, I wouldn't say that's the pitch you want to make. Rather, say we are threatened. And we are going to stand up to the threat, and we are going to build our military capabilities so America is safe and secure. That's what I'm going to do for you in my next administration. I think that would work. Do I think he's going to adopt such a policy? No, I'm not.
Cliff May is founder and president of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, a columnist for The Washington Times. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
At the UPS Store, we know being a small business owner means holiday time is still go time. Still get those orders shipped time. And still re-up on stamps and supplies time. That's why this upcoming holiday, while others close up shop, we'll be open. and happy to help you keep being unstoppable. Come into your local store today. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS Store. Be unstoppable.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.